The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, if you were paying attention the other day, we were talking about the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. They came out with that rather subtle music video about coming after your children. And then there was, of course, a big backlash to that. And they said, well, it was just tongue-in-cheek, just some humor, almost like the Babylon Bee, a little satirical, but to make the point, not that we're coming after your children in any kind of depraved way, in any kind of sexual way. We're coming after them to help them become more tolerant and to be more inclusive, i.e. loving and kind and compassionate, unlike typical Christians. That's essentially where they were coming from. Then, if you're a Netflix person, you might have noticed something coming out on Netflix soon called Pray Away, which I guess without looking at it, without really digging into it at all, you might say, well, pray away. Yeah, hey, pray away, bro. Pray away, sister. Let's pray away. We got a lot of things to pray about. No, that's not exactly what that's about. I would add pray away the gay, because that's looking at conversion therapy, which has been a big issue, which is now in terms of the legal system and legislatures around the country. There's certain states that are saying, yeah, this needs to be outlawed. Well, what is conversion therapy and what's going on with the continuing culture war? And the landscape obviously has changed a lot in America since the days of Three's Company. And then we got into the fight over gay marriage and then. Subsequently, in 2014, with the Supreme Court, gay marriage becomes part of the law of the land, ostensibly, although there is no written law anywhere, an interesting little constitutional aside. And so this can still be a very difficult, complex situation. And how do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, who are supposed to be devoted to both truth and grace, chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of both grace and truth, how do we do that in the context of this ongoing and increasing assault on a biblical worldview? Several years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting now Dr. Christopher Yuan, who is just, for me, is probably the most effective voice in this particular arena because of his own background, his own story, his own testimony, and incredibly well-educated at this point at the Moody Bible Institute, a master's degree in biblical exegesis, a doctorate in 2014, the first book that he did with his mom called Out of a Far Country, A Gay Man's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. Unbelievable testimony, and I had the opportunity to see them share that with his dad as well here in Raleigh. And then his newest book called Holy Sexuality, which is the terminology that he taught me years ago that's really had a profound impact on how I address this. So it's always a pleasure and always a great honor and a great blessing to have Dr. Christopher Yuan back on the show. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Steve, doing really well. Always good to be on with you.
It's great to have you, and I appreciate your time as always. And you always have a lot going on and very sought after, and it's amazing how God continues to use you. So which one would you like to talk about first? We can talk about Pray Away, the Netflix special coming out soon, or we can talk about the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you want to do something that was just a few days ago or maybe a week ago?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, rapid fire.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, let's do the what was your reaction when I know you're paying attention to this stuff all the time. Let's talk about the San Francisco Gay Choir video, because I've talked about that on the air recently. What was your reaction to that? And what take us into the mind and the environment there, since you were a part of that world for a while. What do you think that was all about?
Well, I mean, and you're right. I mean, this is the world that I live in, and so I'm trying to keep a pulse on the culture consistently. I just moved cross country, and so there's been a little bit of delay on some of my stuff. So my good friend Rosaria Butterfield texts me. She's like, "Did you hear about this? See this?" And so she was the one that first told me, and I'm like, "Are you serious? I mean, like, is this?" You know, kind of just jokingly, or is there like some you know sexual innuendos there? I went ahead and I watched it, and you know, let me just tell you, I had kind of two responses, and it was just my visceral first response.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, just, you know, the gloves are off. Honestly, post Obergefell 2015, you know, the horrendous, you know, Supreme Court decision that was written by Justice Kennedy, who, praise the Lord, is now retired. But
yeah.
I mean, it's I mean, others will replace him. So, but that that horrible decision that came down, that, you know, they kept arguing, the Supreme Court, or those that were in favor wrote the majority opinion, you know, saying that, you know, this has nothing to do with, you know, religious freedom. Well, that was the most naive and immature and ignorant statement, because it wasn't even a year later that we saw all these, you know, cases against florists and bakers, et cetera, who just held to, you know, the minority position, which is now the minority position. But anyway, you know, it was watching it was it was, you know, they're finally being honest. At least,
yeah.
That there is, of course we are. And it really isn't that different from what I've been telling people, that I think it comes down to, for us to really understand what is going on in the mind of those who do not identify as Christ, or, I mean, because a lot of people, you know, say they're Christian, but
sure,
any person who actually holds to the Bible as being God's word, you know, I think an error that we make is that we don't see that those in the gay community and those who are not Christian view sexuality as a core part of who we are.
Right.
And this is why we get these type of videos. I mean, this is really, it's nothing new. I know it was surprising and shocking for many, but even 20 years ago, before my conversion, I wouldn't boldly say this, but yeah, and, you know, we would want to share with others what it's like to, and I'm going to put this in quotes, be gay.
Right.
That's how I would identify back then. I don't now, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. We're coming up on a break, so I'm going to hit the pause button right there, Christopher, and we'll continue. But that's one of the big things I want to talk about and unpack, take some time today on that one is, you know, I think a lot of us can assume this is 100% insidious. They know exactly what they are doing. They're aggressive. It's really evil. But then the other side of it is spiritual blindness, and maybe not as much. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, dealing with the issues of human sexuality, in this case, homosexuality. Is a challenging environment. We've been dealing with it really since the dawn of mankind, all the way back post-garden and post-fall. And but it's out there. It's all over the place. It's in your face. And a perfect example of it is what happened just last week with the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir coming out with that video, "We're Coming for Your Children." We played enough of it, about a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes of it the other day. And it really is quite disturbing. And, there's, you know, "We're coming for your children. We're definitely trying to convert them." But then they say that the subtitle is, "We're trying to convert them to be more loving and kind and compassionate and understanding and tolerant." But there is a very – I had several people – we're talking to Dr. Christopher Yuan today, by the way, who's just – I think, again, just the most outstanding Christian voice dealing with this issue, because of his education, because of the way God has brought him along, because of his past, and just also because of your demeanor, Christopher. I just think you have such a – you're a really good example of what grace and truth looks like when it's operating at the same time in the same place with the same subject and the same person. And that's a – it sets a high bar for all of us, but I really do appreciate the way you come at it. But it's really difficult to look at this subject because part of me gets disgusted and angry, and you used the phrase in the first segment of the show that you – like the gloves are off. And then another part of me is brokenhearted watching these people. It kind of reminds me of Christ looking at his murderers going, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So you were talking a little bit about, Christopher, your first reaction, which was kind of visceral and angry, and I would assume probably some disgust in there as well. But there was a broken heart as well, because you're looking at people that are captive.
Yeah. You know, and so it was this, it took a little while, 24 hours. And sometimes I do this. I will engage on social media responding, and I don't know. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to wait. And so I slept on it. And I think the Lord kind of rebuked me. And he did that by bringing me back to reminding me of who I used to think I was, who I used to identify as 20 years ago before my conversion, before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the reason was because if I'm still lost right now, I lived in San Francisco, I probably would have been in that choir.
Yeah.
You know, I probably would be singing those exact words, deceived by the enemy, singing these words of intolerance, mockingly. And so I think God just reminded me, not only just of how deceived, you know, because deception can work several ways. Deception, in a way, you know, doing evil is where you know you're doing evil and you don't care.
Yeah, you just
and
don't
you
care.
You relish in that.
Right.
But there's also another form of evil that is just as evil, where it's just a deceived evil, where you actually – you're doing evil, but you really, really in your heart – and I say heart in a not a good way, in a sinful heart – believe you're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, and so God brought me back to that. You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and so this is – very familiar to me. Yeah. My perception of Christianity in the church was a caricature, but it was real to me. It's and unfortunately, this is what we see a lot, is a distortion of what the church is. And,
right.
And I'm not going to say that they're not. There are bad examples out there, too many bad examples, and of course that media loves to portray.
Of course.
But so we get that. Wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was, you know, I know this sounds weird because I know that there's this weird vibe of these guys. And I think they were kind of doing it intentionally, to be honest, because I saw that. I'm like, I would have used that same humor myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew how to push people's buttons and how to do that. I mean, I did that all the time with my parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think people were. Honestly, I bet half of these, if not more of these young men, were raised in the church. So they actually know the terminology. They know exactly what irks people off, and they're intentionally pushing these,
yeah.
But they really think they're doing good. And this is, you know, my tweet said this. I said this. I've been there thinking my intolerance was tolerant, fair, and kind, and using humor to hide sin, to hide an air of superiority, this pridefulness that, you know, looking down on people. And I get it. You know, these people have been maybe burnt from people, you know, by the church or by so-called Christians. But, you know, I wonder if they actually translated this into Arabic or Spanish.
Oh, boy.
Or Chinese, or, you know, into an African language, and imported that there, how tolerant would this be viewed?
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, it's in...
Well, in the Islamic world, this would be akin to an act of war.
Yeah.
I mean, the infidel now wants to, and not just any old infidel, but a homosexual infidel... Yeah. Is now going to come after our kids. Heads are going to roll, and they're not going to be Islamic.
Right. And I kind of get, I mean, again, not justifying, but I kind of get why so many Muslims want to destroy the West, you know, because,
yeah.
And it's not because of politics. It's because of this. They don't want to see immorality. I mean, so there's a sense of, you know, it's a moral thing, ethical thing, not political, why Islam hates the West because we're importing and we're pushing through UN and everywhere else. I mean, because I posted this online and people were like, oh, how could we do it? And I was like, well, look at UN. For people to get AIDS, HIV funding, they have to begin supporting not only, you know, contraception and passing out, you know, so-called protection, but also pushing and advocating, not just, you know, maybe doing away with some of these laws against same-sex relationships, but actually advocating and and promoting. So there's a difference. I kind of get that. But, you know, back, you know, so my story, I've been there. This is my past. God, in his infinite mercy, brought me out of this. I, you know, from Chicago, went to dental school. I came out, as I called it back then, in my early 20s, which is later than usual, told my parents, and this is so amazing. Steve, you know this. My mom and dad came to faith through this crisis.
Yeah.
I unfortunately was doing what all my other unbelieving friends were doing, which is have fun, right? I mean, you live once, so why not go out and party? I was spending all my time in gay clubs. I unfortunately started doing drugs, selling drugs, and people try to distort this to think that somehow I'm trying to tell everyone's story. Not all gay men do drugs. That's my story. But I also want to remind people my story is not about simply sexuality. This is my testimony. It's not about a gay man who's no longer gay. My story is this. I was lost, and now I'm found.
That's right.
I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
I did not believe, and now I believe in the only thing that is true, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is a God who created me, and I'm a sinner in need of Christ. Really my story.
That's the story. That's my story as well. We're talking to Christopher Yuan. We're going to talk about Pray Away, a new film coming out on Netflix when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to my friend and my brother in Christ today, Christopher Yuan, who is an incredible thinker, great speaker, great teacher, author as well. The first book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. 100,000 copies of that have been sold in 7 languages. It's an amazing story, an amazing testimony. And I tell people all the time, Christopher, and again, thanks for your time today. I know how busy you are, and it's always great to spend time with you. But people reach out to me because of what I do, and they're all, I hear it now. I'm increasingly hearing from parents and people that are dealing with the transgender issue. But for years now, dealing with same-sex attraction and homosexuality and all of that, and there's somebody here locally that's a dear friend of mine, and then there's you, and those are the two people. I said, go get to their website, read their testimony, start reading what they have to say, start listening, because they have a perspective from their own experience that I cannot offer you. I can offer you what the Bible says, but I haven't been down that road myself. And people are just so blessed by what God has done in your life. And so I just so appreciate you and your time. And thanks again for being here today.
Oh, thanks. You're too generous with your words. I'm simply just a guy who loves Jesus.
Okay, break it all down. That's what we are, guys and gals who love Jesus, and we make up the church. Praise the Lord. And so talking about that issue when we were talking about the San Francisco Gay Choir, and one more thing on that, you just mentioned it for our friends on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. They hear us talking during the commercial breaks, but our radio friends don't. So we were just talking with Christopher off the radio air, and rage and disgust and the gloves coming off, and it's a culture war and we got to fight back is the first reaction, I think, for a lot of us. But I think where we need to end up, it reminds me of Christ who looked out over Jerusalem and he wept because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And ultimately, Christopher, I think our reaction shouldn't be political. It shouldn't be culture war. It should probably be lament. It should probably be a broken heart, because Paul said it, you know, such were some of you. And you guys, I had a list. I still do. But man, I think we should be broken and tearful as opposed to enraged. I understand the rage, but that's not where we should end up. Is that, are we kind of in, I think we're in agreement.
Oh yeah.
That.
I mean, well, you know, scripture even says, you know, be angry, but do not sin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, you know, there is room for us to, for there to be righteous anger, but do not sin. And so we need to be really careful not Scripture clearly says the battle is not against flesh and blood. Yeah. So it's being careful not to channel our anger at an individual, at a community, or anything that's really earthly. This is a spiritual battle. Let's devote our anger against the enemy.
Yeah.
He's the one that's deceiving. He's the one that is pulling on the hooks on our sin natures and drawing us down. So, you know, as we respond viscerally to things like this, let our minds be broken, and let us be reminded quickly of where we used to or could be very easily,
that's right.
Only by grace. And let us just get on our knees and pray.
Amen.
I don't hear enough people saying, you know, I spent an hour in my prayer closet praying for my gay neighbor or for the gay community. You know, where are the prayer chains, the 24-hour prayer chains for the gay community, for the gay, let's not even just say the gay community, let's the gay activists. You know, where's the prayer chain for the San Francisco gay men's choir? Boy, they need salvation. Yeah. They need to be saved from deception. And so that's my hope, is that we would rise up and have an army of prayer warriors fasting. My mother fasted every Monday for 7 years.
Wow.
Who else is doing that?
That's right.
I mean, you know, these young men have mothers and fathers. They're someone's son. Well, kind of adopt them as our the people that we're going to pray and you know, let the hound of heaven chase after
that's
them.
Right. And that's such a great example from your mom, and so diligent over all those years to pray for their son, who was, you know, not interested and, you know, fairly aggressive and pushing back on mom and dad. Hey, here's another Bible throw in the garbage, whatever. But we're going to have another opportunity. The reason you texted me the other day was about, I hadn't seen it, but I went and looked it up, and it obviously, I don't think much surprises me anymore, but on Netflix, so Pray Away, this is a new, is it a movie, is it a documentary, and it's coming out soon, so tell us about that, Pray Away, because at first glance you're like, oh, well, we're talking about prayer, so that's good. No, that's not what this is about.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprisingly, it's Netflix. It is surprising that something as, you know, talking about reparative therapy was talked about by media, et cetera. But I mean, it's now Netflix, and you know, Netflix is becoming more and more popular. They have all these movies and stuff, and with, you know, well-known actors and actresses. So to see that out there again was just okay. I mean, this is, again, the gloves are off, have been off. It's not simply saying, you know, we want our rights. It's let's destroy our enemies. You know, it's not only destroying our enemies, which I can put up with. I mean, all of this I can put up with.
Sure.
I'm used to this anyway. But it is distorting the message. This documentary is not out yet, so I haven't been able to watch it. You can watch the trailer, and every one of those people that has been interviewed, you know, they would probably label them as ex gays. And for the record, I don't identify as gay. I don't identify as ex gay. I don't identify as straight. My identity is in Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Period. I mean, I think. I cringe when Christians who might not have same-sex attractions and have opposite-sex attractions say, I'm a straight Christian. No. No. You admit and say, I have opposite-sex attractions, but that's whenever, ever, ever do we make attractions a relationship who we are.
Right.
Never. And a Christian should never – don't fall into this Freudian, atheist, humanist trap of saying your sexuality is who you are. It's not who you are. It's how you are. But so I watched this, and it really, again, it broke my heart again, because I knew every one of those people that was interviewed, and I knew them before they had their deconversion. And Steve, as you know, there's a lot of deconversions going on today of people becoming, you know, so-called progressive Christians, although not everyone in that trailer.
Yeah.
Would now identify as Christian. When the deconversion title is someone who is a Bible believing, a true Christian, and now has deconverted into like a progressive Christian.
Right.
So there's a small handful of those, but the majority of those are people who are just rejecting and denying Christ.
So when they start talking about conversion therapy, what is that? Because most people actually aren't familiar with it. So when they're talking about it, what in the world is it?
Yeah. So conversion therapy, or sometimes called reparative therapy. And this is the trouble as well, because there isn't really like one definition. In many of the laws, it's written very broadly. However, in most of these laws that are being pushed now, when they say they're made illegal, it's not a criminal law. It is essentially a law for business practices. So it's a law of fraud. In other words, they're saying these are essentially people who are making money. So if there's a person who says, you can come to my office and I could go through so many sessions, you know, maybe 10-hour-long sessions, and at the end, you can become straight. Now, I'm just saying that because that's a caricature of what actually happens.
Yeah.
Because no one really, I should never, because you always find, you know, that one nutty person who might say this, but I don't know of people who will say this. This what you do hear is people will say, you know, you can go through this counseling or these group sessions, which those group sessions usually don't cost any money, but you have the potential to have opposite sex attractions and the potential to reduce your same sex attractions. That's usually the case.
Now it sounds to me like that's going to be more targeted towards Christian counselors who are like, well, I'm going to teach you through God's word what God has to say about your identity. Are there really any secular counselors out there that are doing that? Is that common?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there actually is. There's a group and the person, another person that they kind of in that, that trailer that they showed was the late Joseph Nicolosi, who he claims he's the father of reparative therapy. There's a little bit of debate over that. There's, I think, what's her name? Elizabeth Moberly was also kind of in England who kind of developed that, but then she kind of renounced that later. And I think she's still living, but she doesn't do much psychology now. But Joseph Nicolosi passed away, and he would call himself a Catholic, but his network called Narth is not many would-be Christians in it, but not all do. So the therapy is not wouldn't necessarily be called Christian, or I'm sorry, would doesn't have to be called Christian.
Right, got it. Okay, we're up against the break. We got one more segment to go. We're talking to Christopher Yuan today on the Steve Noble Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll finish it up when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Dr. Christopher Yuan today. ChristopherYuan.com is the website. Y-U-A-N, by the way, ChristopherYuan.com. We got the links up on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, but for those of you on the radio, you can just Google his name. You're going to find all of that. It's nice and easy. But Christopher with a P-H, Yuan, Y-U-A-N, or ChristopherYuan.com. And I would I can't tell you guys how much you'll be blessed by reading kind of his testimony book that he co-authored with his mom out of a far country. But also Holy Sexuality in the Gospel, Sex, Desire, and Relationship Shaped by God's Grand Story, which was actually the 2020 Book of the Year for Social Issues by Outreach Magazine. It's really an incredible book. It's very, very helpful. It'll help give you or shape a really gospel-centered response and understanding to the issue of homosexuality and how you look at people in the lifestyle and how you deal with it and how you approach it. And for a lot of us, increasingly, you know more people that are in that world and living that life, or fathers and mothers that have sons and daughters struggling with that. And it's really an incredible resource. I can't recommend it strongly enough. So make sure you get that, especially Holy Sexuality in the Gospel. It's just such a great resource. But we're talking to Christopher today. We were talking about the San Francisco Gay Choir and their little video they put out a week ago, Coming for Your Children, essentially. And now finishing up our conversation, talking about what's coming out on Netflix, Pray Away, which is really about, you know, how people that are trying to deal with your homosexuality, and when you're done with these sessions or what have you, then you'll be a heterosexual. You'll be opposite sex attracted, and everything will be fine. And of course, I think ultimately this is probably an attack on the church. But you mentioned this earlier, Christopher, and I think it's important for all of us to remember when people say, oftentimes they'll say, well, everybody in the church is this, and you guys are that, and you guys are the other thing, and you guys have plenty of sin yourselves. You talk about divorce, but yet you have a lot of divorce in the church. And I think too many of us just write that off immediately. I think you need to sift through that. We need to be discerning, because there's some junk that we own and there's some junk that we don't. And we have to remember that the people that attack the church, generally, they're not attacking me personally. What they're trying to do is get rid of God. Again, back to Romans chapter 1, suppress the truth, replace it with a lie. They know God exists. He's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. I actually don't believe in atheists, Christopher, just because of God's word and what he said in Romans chapter 1. But I listen. I listen now more than I did before to the culture outside the church, because they have some legitimate gripes about us. But I also know that these are people that are lost. And what fellowship does darkness have with light? They don't want to hear the light because their deeds are dark. Nobody wants to be judged. And so I think we have to be really careful as we wade into this every time it comes up, which is often.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's being careful that we wade into this. I mean, recognizing, you know, our shortcomings. There's a saying in Chinese that's, you know, 70% or, you know, oftentimes 80%, you know, of a joke or whatever is kind of grounded in some truth. And also when people critique, even as crazy as a complaint might be, oftentimes there's something that really happened that's real and true that tipped people off. Mm. So I think it's thinking less of, are we doing battle or are we hoping to be used by God to point people to Christ? And I want the latter to happen in my life. As much as I'm a fighter,
yeah,
you know, I thank God. I'm, as you know, Steve, I'm not married yet, and you know, people always like, you know, you know, Christopher Yuan doesn't think he could ever be married. I never said that. That's why I believe in holy sexuality, chastity and singleness, faithfulness in marriage, and I'm open to getting married. But you know, I'm not married, and I'm so glad I have loved ones in my life, like my parents, and they humble me, and my mom often be like, don't make it sound like you're always so angry. I'm like, oh, I know, because it comes out. I'm just, well, I talk very fast and I'm very passionate about what I, you know, I'm just passionate about Jesus. I want to tell others about that, but it's my sin nature and my flesh that wants to be like, believe in Jesus now, you know, and so it can come out forcefully. But I think I just need to be reminded of, for example, you know, this trailer, there's, you know, we can, I think this is a good response. We need to look at, you know, we can agree that psychotherapy is not the answer for same-sex attractions. I think it can be helpful, just as groups can be helpful, but it's not the core answer. I'm not saying it's, we need to make it illegal. That's not at all what I'm saying. But my argument is not from a religious freedom perspective. I think it's from a much stronger perspective, and that's just simply the Constitution.
Yeah.
We're not communist. My parents fled communism so that they could live and not be killed. And we're not a communist country, praise God. Even though I don't want to go back to our country's founding fathers, because they were messed up Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Calling themselves Christians, and they would put our progressive Christians to shame, actually. Not all of them. I'll take that back. But
sure.
Many,
a lot of Unitarians in there, and they were very much enlightenment thinking pseudo Christians, the vast majority of them. And I've studied this for years. I've written on it.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality. And but a lot of them had a firmer biblical worldview in terms of understanding morality and God and his providence than a lot of people do today. So it's a very interesting casserole to try to pull through when you're studying that.
And with that said, I'm not at all saying I'm ashamed of our country.
Sure.
I am so grateful. You know, I served in the Marine Corps. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, someone sent me, I can't remember the political comedian, the older guy, you know, sent something, you know, just joking about China, how they can build everything, you know, a big highway or freeway in, you know, 19 days or something crazy like that. I'm like, well, yeah, that's the partial truth because you didn't live there. My parents did. And talk about the millions of people that were killed, you know, and the funny thing is a political comedian would not be able to survive in China.
No, how's that?
You know?
That's right. Exactly right. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left, Christopher. I want to ask because I think our tendency when these things are going on in the culture around us is to kind of bear up and we want to get into the culture war and we want to say, thus saith the Lord and all those truths, which we need to defend that. But should our, what should our primary goal be here? Is turning America to biblical morality? Because oftentimes I think we care more about America than Americans. And God is more concerned about the soul of an America than of an American than the state of the nation, although the state of the nation matters because there's 330 million people made in the image of God. But what should be our goal here in the midst of this? Because it's not going to get, quote unquote, less gay. It's not going to get less immoral. It's going to get more. So what do we do in that kind of environment? Because that's where we live now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's realizing, we should get angry when we see sin and immorality. That is a good thing, but we need to make sure that we channel it correctly. And I'm going to tie in kind of where I was going before of this diagnosis. You know, it's what is the correct diagnosis, because that will lead to the correct response. Mm-hmm. The diagnosis of this thing, you know, that the trailer was talking about, same-sex attractions, the correct diagnosis of what we see in our culture, this depravity and immorality and atheism, is recognizing what's the real problem, the diagnosis, and it's sin. Mm-hmm. It's our sin nature. It's the fall. I mean, that's what the Bible's all about. You can't even get through the first three chapters before you come to the fall. And so then what's the solution? Is it for us to fight hard and try to make people right and clean them up and make them more moral? That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. This is the answer, the gospel. We need – it's through the gospel that individual hearts are changed. And it's through the gospel, as individual hearts are changed by renewed hearts, by renewed minds, that then culture is changed.
Yeah.
I mean, I see this and I'm like, I need to go and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. I need to pray to the only God who saves to bring people to him. You know, and that's what I hope our listeners would be emboldened about today and be renewed about today, that time is short. And as we turn on the television, as we look on, you know, the internet or social media, which I try to now stay away because it's my sin nature that wants to rear its ugly head. And I just say, you know, Lord, you've come to seek and save the lost. That's what I want to happen. But God, he certainly can just use that by writing on the wall or angels coming down from heaven, but most situations he uses human beings.
That's
he
right.
uses our mouths. He uses our hands. He uses, you know, and it's not just our mouths. And I don't want to ever say, you know, that adage, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. No, you always have to use words, but that doesn't mean that you don't use action as well to undergird those words to give evidence for why those words are correct. So I tell people, you need to live the gospel as you preach the gospel, and let us never tire of doing that.
Amen. And then that's our reasonable act of service. That is what we do in response as we try to impact the culture around us, not for the sake of seeing America be more clean than it is, but for seeing individuals come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And that's ultimately all this other stuff's going to fade away. It's all going to disappear. The only thing that's going to last forever is the human soul, and it's only got two destinations, and that message is ours. That should be our lifestyle, our message, and our focus. As we remember, politics is important, the culture is important. I'm not saying they aren't, but the gospel's preeminent. The gospel is preeminent. It's always coming back to the gospel. And we'll yell a lot more easily, and it feels a lot better than sharing the gospel, which is more awkward. But we're called to do one, not the other. And we have to remember that. Christopher Yuan, always great to have you on. Thank you again so much for your time. I deeply, deeply appreciate you and love you, my brother. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. God bless you.
You're very welcome. God bless you. And we'll be back tomorrow for Theology Thursday. Got a lot going on. And we'll just continue. Pray, and share the gospel. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.